Hello and welcome to the He Wants, She Wants marriage podcast. So today we're going to talk about change in marriage, because change is something that can be really challenging and intense to navigate as a couple, any kind of change. And with that, we want to bring in an announcement in regard to this podcast.
Yeah, let's bring the announcement in at the beginning, because I think it's going to be a really great foundation for the depth of the conversation that will come. It'll make a whole lot more sense. The announcement that Matilda and myself have is the He Wants, She Wants marriage podcast, which this is...
Episode 27
of, yes. It. And it's been beautiful and evolving and so amazing. We've decided that the format of it, it's going to come to an end. Now, I want to be really quick to add that the marriage podcast is going to continue. It's going to continue in the format of the Heroic Husbands podcast. So there's going to be immense value. So anybody, I really want to underline this for everybody listening in. There's going to be immense value for every single couple out there still coming through that. So just with that underlined, that's really important.
Yes, and I will remain in the background doing all the work, and I will remain available, of course, if any wives is looking for support and is looking for coaching. I am still going to be part of it, but it's going to go back to be the Heroic Husbands podcast. Well, it used to be The Husband She Brags About. It's shifting to The Heroic Husband. Mm-hmm. And that is a big change. And this year, well, in the last 12 months, I would say we've navigated so many different changes as a couple in business, in family life, we've had health that we've had to navigate. So there's been a lot of change, and that can be very intense to navigate.
One thing that we're bringing to it that we are finding, I believe, as a couple is there is this assumption. I want to actually call bullshit on a lot of assumptions out there about change, that change is inherently deeply stressful.
Yeah.
I actually want to call bullshit. I didn't even think about this coming in, but I want to call bullshit on that. There is this assumption that, changing house, that's really stressful. Changing job, really stressful. Changing any major change is inherently stressful. It's not. It's the meaning we attach to it, and it's the process of deciding about the change and going through with it when you finally decided. And what makes that such a murky, dirty feeling process that most people back off is we have this part of our traumatized nervous system that overemphasizes the importance of what other people think. What will they think about us if we make this decision as a couple?
Yes, and this is on everything, really. Like, we are talking about our changes have been about work and business and stuff, but there's like literally been, I've been in conversations with people that were concerned about, we're changing the car, what would other people think? I remember a couple of years ago, I changed the color on our front door and windows, and that was a major issue. Like, I mean, not for us, I was really fine with it, but like, I remember your family was pretty critical about my choice in color, and this became like a thing, you know? I changed it back to what it was. No, I don't think I will. But it can be a thing. What will the neighbors think? What will our families think? What will the people at work think? I changed the color of my coat that I used to go to work all the time. What will other people think? So it's not even just big changes. We're talking about everyday decisions.
There's one realization I've had, and I imagine it's coming quite strongly off the back of both my parents having passed in the last 3 or 4 years. pretty much the only people that are going to be in the room in the final moments in your life, and you know, we want to have loved ones there, it's going to be your spouse and your kids.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, the importance or the relative complete non-importance of all the others in your life, it's rendered absolute. You see it, you feel it. They don't have this importance. It's the nearest and dearest are there together at the end. And the others all, you know, they're petered out. They might show up at the funeral, but they're not that important. But when we're in the midst of marriage, my God, the fucking importance that we have been conditioned to give the parents, the people, the boss at work. And that's what I end up finding when I'm coaching guys and talking with couples, is so much of the stresses in marriage, it's not being dominated by the thinking of, it's not being dominated by what the couple want. The couple is actually happy together. They got married together. They're in love. They dig each other. They really like each other. The personalities match. There's life interests. There's a lot of epic shit going on. That's a couple. The complications are, why the fuck does he act like that when he's around mom and dad? Why all of a sudden we had these priorities set, but one phone call from the boss at work, and then there's no importance at home. It's the decisional making capacity together as a couple and remaining grounded in that in the face of other people speaking and, you know, interacting from the outside. That's one of the major root causes of marital conflict.
Yes, there was a really, really good Italian movie years ago where in the church at the wedding, on the wedding day, the priest, when he's doing his speech, his sermon, he's actually giving these scenarios for the entire movie. You don't actually know that the priest is still talking about how the friends and family are actually going to drive this couple apart. And by the end of it, thankfully, you realize that's what was happening. They're still in church. And the priest is asking the crowd, why would they act like that? And there's some of the people actually being really honest. They get up and they go, well, you know what? For me, it'd actually be better if they split up. I'm a lawyer, so I have all to gain of this. Or the families have their own opinions and stuff and stuff. And so in the end, he's like, you know, this is about them. It's not about all of your opinions. But of course, if we're expecting that to come from the outside in, that's not going to happen. Other people are not going to stop having opinions about what you want to do and about the changes that you want to implement all of a sudden. But you can bring the focus back on you and actually go, okay, this decision, whether it's how I'm going to paint the door or all the way to career changes and stuff, it's right by us. How is this affecting your partner and your children? That's the most important unit you want to think about.
Almost fundamentally, it's the only unit you need to think about. That is the absolute priority. Of course, make decisions and try and have the power, by a power of positive influence, have as many people in harmony. You can, no, screw it. That's actually, I'm going into political correctness.
No.
The only priority are the people in your household. Because here's the thing. When you allow yourself to have the permission to make decisions, when you look in your spouse's eyes and go, what do you want, honey?
Mm.
And one partner then asks, well, okay, that's what I want. That's what I desire. I believe making this decision, I'm going to feel better in myself. What do you want? And when both partners go, okay, well, that's, we know exactly what we're wanting here. We're really this making the decision from there. I feel I'm going to be happier. I feel I'm going to be healthier. We feel we're going to be happier and healthier. And from there, as a couple, clearly, as a couple, if you're going to be happier and healthier, well, your kids are going to be happier and healthier.
Yeah.
From there, whether people are in harmony with your decision or not has zero importance. If people in your life cannot witness and attune to the fact that you are happier and healthier in what you've decided, and if they're against that, if they're holding opinions against that, what type of love is that? And it doesn't matter if, oh, but that woman brought me into this world. Oh, but that man, he did night duty and like he supported me. Clearly, I'm talking about moms and dads, and they're like the real, they're the Voldemort type part of our shadows that fucks with us in decisions like this. It tends to be mom and dad, but it peters out into neighbors, into bosses, into friends. Guys, the priority in your decision making is, will it make you and your beloved feel happier and healthier? That's priority number one. And there is no priority number two.
Yeah. There is an element that comes into play that's really important to understand, is that everyone has a degree of trauma in the system, and everyone has a part that really holds on to certainty and needs certainty, and has another part that goes for uncertainty because wants new things and wants different things. And so, you know, when you're thinking, for example, about one neighborhood you're gonna get your house in, and there's a part that wants to stay in the same neighborhood as mom and dad, and it's gonna have plenty of arguments and plenty of reasons, and you know, it's gonna make a lot of sense. And then there's gonna be a part that actually wants something else. And I know when you were saying earlier that change doesn't have to be inherently stressful, and it's the meaning that we attach to it, is these parts in conflict with one another that usually create the stress. And then in that you add that your partner has those two parts as well. and on one particular topic of change, they may not be in agreement of your part with your parts. So it's like you have four people trying to make a decision instead of two. So this is really important to bring in, because it's not inherently stressful. It doesn't have to be, but it's definitely, there's definitely a degree of challenge when you're not familiar with listening to the different parts of you, and you don't have a system with your partner to do that together, so that you don't end up making decisions and out of some of those parts that are not actually ultimately you and where you want to be. Because I know when you were saying, oh, what do you want? I know at times I would have answered, but I need to be close to my mom to feel better. And that was not me. That was definitely a part. And this is a big, long conversation I don't want to go into now, but just to say, just to bring it as an example.
Yeah. It's to really, I suppose, in my mind, it's to pose the question, who am I trying to make happy here? Because I know I've had that in years gone by, and we've made a lot of decisions that were contrary to definitely what my family believed was the right way to go with things. I mean, vegetarianism, Buddhist / spiritual decisions. We have an eclectic mix. It's not old style Roman Catholic Ireland upbringing. We homeschool the girls. Our work things. We have 8 horses. Nobody either side. There's a whole long list. We've put 2 fingers up to the rest of the world in our decision making process. But it was creating quite a bit of conflict anyway. We made these decisions, but there was... So we've fine-tuned this system back of finding out, oh God, who am I trying to make happy here? Am I... And that has helped me root out, I'm actually trying... I'm bringing in that little asterisk, that little nuance into the decision, but that's to sort of semi get my dad that he'll be okay, he'll understand if I put that bit in. And then my nervous system goes, fuck no, well clearly that's not important. So that's a really key thing. Who am I trying to make happy in what I'm bringing to the conversation? in when you're making a decision.
Mm, yeah, and you might need to ask that question a couple of times. Because I think the first, with every one of these questions, the first answers are superficial layers. And the more you've built communication and trust with your partner, the more you can do that together and the other can kind of call you out and go, I don't know. I get your answer. Fair enough. But I feel there might be more. Or is there more? You know, just because that we've done that with each other a ton. Like, if I practicing pausing, of course, has become, and we talk about that, but definitely for years, my first, second, and possibly third answer was still very, very superficial. Not wrong, but just I was not tapping into myself. I was still going through layers of still pleasing others. And I mean, people pleasing is one of the most common coping patterns that there is out there. That comes from my own work with daughters of narcissistic mothers, but it's not unique to that. Like it's a really common pattern.
Mm. So what's coming up in me to say is slow down to speed up on decisions that are quote unquote big decisions, a big life change, a change of job, change of house, change of whatever those changes are. Guys, slow down. And I feel there's this level of watch out for the part of your mind that speaks with razor sharp clarity from the start. Oh, I know exactly what I'm just by default shy away from absolute clarity. And because I found that I have started with absolute clarity, what felt like absolute clarity at times. And after several conversations, my decision might actually be the same. However, in the process of being questioned, you bring in your curiosity to me. And what exactly is it, Mark, that you're intending with this decision? What is it? And all of these questions, who are you trying to make happy by making this decision, et cetera, et cetera, by surrendering into that process, I come to know myself better. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if the decision at the end is similar in a black and white terms of what I was thinking in the beginning, I know myself better and I'm way more decisive and grounded in that long term as a result of surrendering into that process. But by remaining open, I gain a lot more knowledge of what's really going on in yourself. Whereas if I rewind back a few years ago and beyond that, I would remain with that rigid hardness from the beginning. And I know you had your versions of that.
Yes.
And the decision would ultimately be made on from a place of hardness. And it wouldn't have the durability, or tensions would follow that decision for months and even years afterwards.
Yeah, because your partner is going to smell the rat. Like, your body transmits a message, and if you are going at it opinionated from a hardness place, and we want to do that because I was part of an exercise with over 100 people recently where it was about stress and it was about making a decision, and almost everyone preferred to make a decision super quick than to actually be given 3 seconds, I'm talking about 3 seconds, to contemplate options. And there were only 2 options. It's not that there were like a million options, because that can be a little, you know, the paradox of choice, million options, mm-hmm. That's a lot. No, we're talking about 3 seconds of contemplation and 2 options. And people were freaking out, me included. It was very revealing. So we tend to go that way for lots of different reasons. That part that doesn't like uncertainty, a part that maybe has been shamed, questions. Shame actually was a big thing that was coming up in the 3 seconds. So that very quick, I have certainty and I'm super grounded in my decision from the very start. It's usually a coping pattern and it's not actually you. So yes, maybe the decision remains the same, maybe changes, because it has changed for us plenty of times in the process, but you are accessing a more grounded self when you're giving yourself the time to pause.
In the pause, that's where you get to know yourself best. I know myself, it's having the courage to surrender in underneath that first layer of certainty. Oh, I know exactly what I want to do. Do you really, Mark? Every single time, without any exception, in underneath that, there's layers of emotion. There's layers of fear. There's layers of self-doubt. There's layers of shame. There's layers of sadness that I hadn't made the change. You know, so that initial, I just want to make this decision. I want to get to the land of certainty as quick as possible. Oh, yeah, in my personal experience, it's without exception. There is an avoidance of an emotional field in underneath that the certainty is driving. And that emotion is going to spill out, guys. The subconscious will fuck you over. You have no, there's no conscious mind on the planet that can outfox the subconscious mind. You make a decision now and you're, just touch base with yourselves, guys. As a couple, if you're listening in as a couple, it's great. You can have a fun chat on this. And if you're listening in just one partner, you know, just have a self-reflective journey on this. Have you made a decision in the past in marriage and the repercussions followed you after that or followed your partner in the form of arguments, in the form of resistance, in the form of self-doubt? You made a decision. You went with the absolute clarity, but shit, you're 6 months later fretting, going, oh, was it the right decision? Did second guessing follow you? Did the lack of, did your full certainty, was your partner just not fully on board? This is crucial. What has happened there is you didn't slow down. And that, when I've posed that question to countless guys, every person went, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's that, and they're quite specific. There was that decision. My wife hasn't been happy since we made the decision where to move. She wasn't happy there. She's not happy. I'm not happy with, she went and she made that decision all of a sudden to invest a load of money in her education. She made a decision. It was done. I didn't have much to do with that. And these resentments follow us. And it's all down to not slowing down with decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
This has been of immense value. Immense value. The expectation, guys, is that it's hitting home for a lot of, yeah, really, this, it's a really fundamental relationship issue, but it doesn't have to be an issue. So slow down with it. And with that, the decision that we have made, I'm really excited for the next chapter of the podcast. It's the next evolution. It's going to be Heroic Husbands. So you're all welcome in to listen into that. It's husband specific, the topic. I'm going to be speaking to husbands. Wives are very welcome to listen in. I've had so many guys in the Be the Husband She Brags About version of the marriage podcast where husbands and wives were listening in. They were actually really loving listening in. They were going on a car trip together. So you're more than welcome to keep listening in. And yeah, there's a celebration for us as a couple.
Yeah.
This decision is right by us. We feel that we're going to be happier, healthier, and we're going to bring in hornier as well, just in the whole life libido.
Yeah, we've got new things coming. We've got projects. We've got things to do. And so, yeah, hence I will take a step back from the front of this podcast.
Will you do guest appearances and more often than you did with Be the Husband She Brags About?
Yeah, sure. You didn't want me on that podcast because, sure, you felt threatened. Yes.
That's horse crap. That's horse crap. Edit that out, woman. You evil woman.
I will not.
And at the end.
I will. I will come on from time to time. Just, you know.
Keep me on my toes.
Keep me on your toes.
You can bring that. Edit out the other stuff.
Okay.
That's been wonderful. Guys, between now and the next time, there to go get what you want. And yeah, looking forward to the next episode.
Brilliant. Bye.
Bye.